Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. And we've got some interesting new marketing things we're thinking about. But who are we brought by, Julie?
That's right. For the moment, we're brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, happytrees.co. And I've got calls to make to them. There's stuff in our yard that needs help. And then also Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallum. All kinds of stuff to talk about today. No guests. So feel free, guys, if you want to call in 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Always, we can have plenty of time to read the comments. You guys always such great comments. And also,
raise your hand or just interrupt us. It's Julie likes best. That's her message. She prefers.
I have my glasses on. You know, and I should say, I need to start reposting the Zoom links. I quit posting them on Facebook for a while because we were getting some progressive interference, I guess it would say.
People back out there.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll start posting it again. So if you're listening to us and you ever want to join on Zoom, I could give you the meeting number. It's 209-576-423.
But just go on the
link. Yeah, I'll start putting it on the links again. But want to talk about, I don't know if you guys saw, but this was great. Elon Musk's takedown, humiliation of the BBC reporter.
He took a page from Donald Trump, who recorded 60 Minutes interview with Leslie Stahl, which was so enlightening. And so they did the interview, and then they tried to take, their own little tidbits. But he, Musk, broadcast live.
Yeah, well, what Trump did with that, I think he kind of wrote the book on this, was he started taping the interviews with the corrupt corporate media and started releasing them. Remember, started releasing them before 60 Minutes could, right? So he got out ahead of this story. They were like, what? No one ever did that before. You can't do that. And he's like, sure, I can. So the way this went down is a BBC reporter by the name of James Clayton over the weekend said, oh, we should try to interview Elon Musk. So sent him an email, right? And Elon Musk said, okay, how about tonight? And they were like, oh. And so he did. And then the reporter in a blog wrote it this way. Then the first curveball came when Elon Musk said he wanted to post it live on Twitter. And so, you know, that none of this would have ever been seen. Because if you look at the BBS, their version, BBC is great. BBC. If you look,
I always get a mixed up too.
Look at the BBC thing,
I like BBS a lot better than BBC.
Oh yes, exactly. But the BBC version doesn't show all of this. And the BBC reporter, when he was writing it, simply said, "Oh, at one point he was like asking me about what were some examples of hate," and he doesn't say that he couldn't think of any.
Right,
but we want to play. This is just perfect, and want to talk afterwards about sort of the implications of this and how this should be, I'm saying, a template for all of us when we're dealing with idiots and ignorant people. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Musk number one. This was a portion of the interview.
I've spoken to people who have been sacked that used to be in content moderation. We've spoken to people very recently who were involved in moderation. And they just say there's not enough people to police this stuff, particularly around hate speech in the company.
What hate speech are you talking about? I mean, you use Twitter.
Right.
Do you see a rise in hate speech?
I mean,
just a personal anecdote. Like, what do you do? I don't.
Personally, my For You, I would see I get more of that kind of content, yeah, personally. But I'm not going to talk to the rest of, for the rest of Twitter.
You see more hate speech personally?
I would say I would see more hateful content in that.
Content you don't like or hateful? What do you mean to describe a hateful thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
Is that
what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content. I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly don't. You can't name a single example. I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that for you feed anymore, because I just don't particularly like it.
But you said
actually, a lot of people are quite similar. I only look at my followers.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
How did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen that you for you hateful content. And I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And I say so that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet. And yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I
could. You just lied.
What? No.
See, that's great. And here's where I wanted to say a few things that are interesting to note. So the original live Twitter feed there, right, had 3 million views. It's up now between everything else to over 7 million views. So this is where we can win, everybody. There are far more people watching that live, right, and then watching it in there than ever saw the BBC version.
Well, they're
of the
pushing
story.
The BBC one pretty hard on sites, but everybody, and I want to see the part where he gets totally raked over the coals.
Right. Well, and again, what they do, there's a couple of things, well, numerous things about this. One, what an idiot reporter, right? There was a day, I mean, that day is long gone, but before you went in to do an interview like that, you would have actual examples of hate speech, right? Now, it wouldn't be right-wing people. It would be like, oh, I don't know, is, you know, jihad people. It would be, you know, the trans people. It would be Kamala Harris saying that we shouldn't have violence and things like that, right? But you would actually have examples of it that you were going to show in your story and then ask Elon Musk to respond. The way the media works anymore is what you have is a narrative that's dictated to you by all of the dark money Democrat people and the Obama, I think, people pulling the strings, don't you think? I mean, the narrative.
BBC has its own backers.
And so the narrative is dictated to you as the reporter, and that the narrative here is supposed to be under Elon Musk, there is more hateful, now not less child porn, but more hateful content on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Now, no one ever actually does any studies. No one does any comparisons. That's just what they say. The media, none of them do any of their homework.
I'm not saying it. I'm just reporting.
And anytime you must have said like 3 or 4 times, honestly. Well, if you have to keep saying honestly, I'm not.
And I don't even look at it anymore.
But he didn't back down. He said, well, I don't look at it anymore. He goes, well, did you look at it before? He said, well, yes. He said, okay, well, what about hate speech?
Just one
example. And you know, the poor reporter went home and could think of like 80 examples. And he's like, I'm going to call him back. But what Elon Musk did there, number one, is he understood that the media is corrupt anymore, right? They're not actually there to try to get your side anymore. They're not there to try to pass along information so you can make up your own mind. They are there to push a narrative and then to crush you if you have the gall and the nerve to question it. So we see so many politicians fall into the trap of the reporter asks a question that, you know, like, why are you a racist? We saw that with Walker Stapleton, when he was running for governor, like, right? Never did he push back against all the reporters asking him about a racist or a Ku Klux Klan, and never, you know, he never said, you're a Democrat, right? Well, the Democrats are the thing. He never said that. Instead, he just tried to answer it. And I think we should all take a lesson from Elon Musk on that. And it's like, number one, just ask him for an example. Just don't answer their question and feed into their narrative and accept their narrative and to try to defend yourself against it. Put them on the defense.
But it went from bad to worse.
It did go from bad to worse because the reporter, then you start saying, okay, well, never mind. We don't want to talk about that anymore. So let's play Elon Musk number two, please.
People say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example. You can name one.
Right, and as I already said, I don't use that feed. But I don't think this is getting anywhere.
You literally said you experienced more hateful content, and then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said, I haven't actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example. Let's move on. We only have a certain amount of time. COVID misinformation. You changed the COVID misinformation.
Has BBC changed the COVID misinformation?
The BBC does not set the rules on Twitter, so I'm asking you.
No, I'm talking about the BBC's misinformation about COVID.
Pause. Silence.
I'm literally asking you about, you changed the labels, the COVID misinformation labels. There used to be a policy, it then disappeared. Why do that?
COVID is no longer an issue. Does the BBC hold itself at all responsible for misinformation regarding masking and side effects of vaccinations and not reporting on that at all? And what about the fact that the BBC was put under pressure by the British government to change its editorial policy? Are you aware of that?
This is not an interview about the BBC.
You thought it wasn't?
I see now why you've done Twitter Spaces. I am not a representative of the BBC's editorial policy. I want to make that clear. Let's talk about something else. You want to talk about the BBC? All right, let's talk about something else.
You weren't expecting that.
Let's talk about something else. Now, apparently in there, he did talk a little bit about what it's been like taking over Twitter. I mean, it was a legitimate interview and he answered the guy's questions. But I think, again, all of us can learn from that, right? When, you know, people say, well, how do you fight back against people? And you saw it, Elon Musk wasn't particularly aggressive. He just said, well, okay, what's an example? Can you give me an example of hate speech? And the guy's like, well, no. And he's like, well, then that's absurd, right? It's like, then you're lying when you're saying to me, we need to do, you know, I want to talk to you about the increase in hate speech. Right. You can't even give me one example. And again, if this is a reporter who'd even remotely done homework, they could, but they don't do homework.
Well, it would have been tough because the examples he would have had to give from his own account or something else would be, you know, if they were really bad, they probably were taken down. If they were just more, you know, slightly bad, then you want to ban that, you know, I mean.
So, well, exactly. He was, which again, they don't, but they count on us not asking questions, right? They count on people like Elon Musk. Not asking, not pushing back. In the little blog the reporter did, he goes, at some times it felt like it was more of an interview of me, and I'm not the one who's responsible for BBC.
No. Well, you can tell us, though. I mean,
you can tell us. What do you think about it, yeah. Right? But all the, I mean, and we've gone over before, as a lot of conservative sites, that all the misinformation that went out about the Russia hoax, about masks, about the vaccine side effects, that's never been corrected and never will be corrected, right?
Well, we should play the one where they're in Australia, they're somebody from the floor range talking about the deaths in 2020 when COVID was the highest and they were not above the average death line. Then all of a sudden, when the COVID vaccines poured in, there was 17, 18, 19, 20% above more morbidity. And he's saying, why isn't anybody paying attention to this? And they go, oh, no.
Or something else.
Yeah.
And so you can see that. And the thing is they don't know what to do when you fight back. And I think that's what we all need to constantly do. So when you have people say, well, there's more hate speech, say, well, give me an example. Give me an example from your feed, say. Maybe give me an example that you saw, right?
Or that you tweeted yourself.
Right, or that you yourself tweeted. Exactly. And Elon Musk just handles them. And here is, I think, our hope. And that is, you know, you look at James O'Keefe with this, I call it citizen journalism. And what it is it's sort of a whole new media that's out there. Because again, as I said, I don't know how many people have looked at the actual or listened to the actual BBC interview or the stories that they did on it, but I guarantee you it's 7 million.
No. And it's all cut up and jumbled and you know, trying to make BBC sound like it got this big exclusive,
right?
When they in fact had gotten scooped.
They were brutalized. He complains about it. And he said, oh, now I see why you wanted it on Twitter Spaces.
It's like,
you know, I mean, I think anybody, any politician, you know, I mean, Heidi Gnall got raked over the coals, you know, over the furries in schools, right?
Yeah.
And I think what she should have done always anymore, if you're a politician, just tape it. And not only just tape it, here's my advice to anybody. And this would include Dave Williams. Anytime you do an interview, say, you know what, guys? I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to just Twitter live this. Okay. And then, and I'm going to share it. I'm going to Facebook live it.
Yeah.
Just put it out there live. It's a click of a button. And I think if you do that, number one, it's going to force them to be more honest, or if they're not going to be more honest, it's going to expose them to way more people.
Right.
Don't anymore have ourselves, let our side be the ones who are subject to however they want to edit it. I mean, Trump started it
and then
go ahead, just like Elon.
And DeSantis has done a great job of pushing back.
Right. But I mean, go ahead. Anything like that, just live stream it yourself. And if they object, you could say, oh, I'm sitting here with, you know, Kyle Clark, and I wanted to live stream it. And he said, no. It's like, why would you not want to live stream it?
Yeah.
You know, and we all know the answer why they don't want to live stream it. So I just think Elon Musk, that's brilliant. And I think the way that the new media, and as opposed to like the corporate media organizations, and which we all know are totally corrupt.
They used to call them mainstream media, but they're no longer mainstream media. They are left-wing media, and they've lost their ability to claim, hey, we are the mainstream. No, you're not the mainstream. You're the left-wing.
Right.
You're the progressive hate media.
Right. And so don't even fall again. Elon Musk did a great job, and Elon Musk didn't have time to prepare, right? He said, well, let's do it tonight. So the guy came over and Elon Musk was just like, okay, well, give me an example of hate speech, which is a perfectly reasonable question. If you're being accused of putting out hateful content, say, well, give me an example, because I don't see any, you know? So it's like,
I don't like my own for you thing anymore anyway. Oh
yeah. Well, it's like, well, then, so don't look at it, right?
Well, they didn't, but how did you know? Well, I remember from weeks and weeks ago.
it can't
be that long ago, so give me a one to know.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think if it was that outrageous that you need to do a whole story on it, you need to trash Elon Musk, you should at least have some vague memory of what it might have been about. And of course,
because in liberal circles, you can say hate speech, and it was hate speech, that can't be allowed.
Well, and again, because they don't, you know, journalism anymore and the left anymore, it's not about facts, because the facts and the information and the evidence is not on their side, right? It's about the narrative. And their only hope is to crush the rest of us who see the truth. That's why the FBI now considers red pill, and it's, you know, like an incendiary, you know, a potentially terrorist remark, is they don't want anybody being, you know, being red pilled anymore. Yeah, it's poor reporter thought he was doing the ambushing. Gotcha. Exactly. And having been a reporter, you know, again, there was a time when you would have approached that story and done your research and had to put inside the story several examples of hate speech, right? To sort of say why people are saying that. And you would not have been the one asserting that it was hate speech. You would interview one person who said it was hate speech. Then you would interview Elon Musk who said it wasn't. No, they don't. I mean, it's so much easier to be a reporter now. Yeah. You just make stuff up. You don't have to support it. And you just, you know, then you just trash anyone who disagrees with you.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Do you think, though, enough politicians, I mean, Republicans, there are some who are great, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. I mean, that would, you know, they would be able to handle that just as effectively. Carrie Lake, when she says to NBC, I'm not talking to you. You'd be one of the ads. I mean, just don't even go there. Right. And again, you tape it. Right. Because they're going to, who knows what they're going to say. You tape it and put it out. But I don't know. Do you think there are enough Republican leaders?
Well, you have to be, whether you're Rand Paul, whether you're John Kennedy, whether you're, you know, if you're just one of the ones that get on to attack Republicans, then no, they're not going to do it to you. So you're all set. Former spokesman for the Republican, former governor of Republican, well, this says Republicans suck. You go, okay.
Right.
Good enough for us.
Right.
You're a bipartisan network. You're publishing both sides.
Well, I think, again, you know, we've talked sort of in general about how Trump has shown us the way, but I think Elon Musk just showed an even bigger way.
Well, yeah, I think Republicans are everybody's dealing with a new media landscape, and they no longer control the media landscape.
No. Just, and again, my advice.
I've got a couple examples coming up.
Okay, what?
Well, what the other things we're going to talk about today.
Okay, I was going to say, well, Tucker Carlson, this is interesting. So Tucker Carlson did, we had another comment from Charlene. Let me read that. Exactly. GOP spokesmen need to go on the offensive. That's what I'm saying, Charlene. They need to go on the offensive. They need to any kind of interaction they have with the media. They need to just simply say, hey, do you care? You know, my assistant here is going to hold the phone and we're going to put this up live on Twitter. I'm going to put it in Twitter Spaces right now, or I'm going to live stream it on my Facebook account. And then, I mean, you put the reporter, why would they say no, right? Why? What possible reason could the reporter have for saying no? And if they do, say, well.
Well, we'll give you examples. The next one, not what we're going to do right now, but a little bit about the Bud Light. There's two battling ones in which the media has its version of the hateful rural people, and everyone else is laughing out loud about the vice president of marketing of
Bud Light. Let's talk a little bit about, so Tucker Carlson had an interview with Donald Trump. It's been interesting to watch the evolution of, and it's come full circle again, almost full circle, of Fox News and their main talk show hosts and Donald Trump. Yes. Right. And you've been reading it about the Dominion lawsuit. They all hate Trump. Tucker Carlson hates Trump.
Right.
Sean Hannity, ashamed of Trump. Laura Ingraham hates Trump. Rupert Murdoch hates Trump. Everybody hates Trump. And all of a sudden, I think they all put their finger in the wind. I'm just going to say Sean Hannity, I think, did. And Laura Ingraham is kind of trying to do that. But and all of a sudden now Sean Hannity likes Trump again. Right. Because they saw with the indictment how Trump is skyrocketing in the polls. Right. But they try to make it sound as if everybody there hates Trump. And I don't that's shifting.
Well, they didn't have anything on Trump. Laura Ingraham had DeSantis on various times and didn't reveal that she'd been down there for a weekend with her husband at his retreat. But Trump was more or less banned from Fox News. I mean, he just simply wasn't on there. But now, boy, everything has changed. And Tucker Carlson, who owns by far the biggest show, has the most power of anybody, has said, no, I'm going all in with Trump. And this is an example of him going all in with Trump.
Yeah, if we could play the Tucker Carlson soundbite, please.
We spent more than an hour with Donald Trump today, and we were struck throughout the course of the conversation how his grasp of foreign policy, this man who was supposedly stupid, his understanding of world affairs is so much more nuanced and sophisticated and pro-American than the moronic neocons currently in charge. It was remarkable. Let's send all our ammo to Ukraine. Zelensky's like Churchill. Okay.
That's an endorsement in its own way. It's saying, no, we're not running the anti-Trump brigade here from Lisa Tucker Carlson's show. And I don't think from the Hannity show. And so, you know, you're going to have to go to Brian Kilmeade or something if you want to get that on Fox. But everything is going Trump's way as he's been persecuted. And now you just see the poll of South Carolina Republicans, he's 2-1 over DeSantis, and then Nikki Haley gets some because she's a former governor, and Tim Scott gets some because he's a present senator. But boy, it's all going one way.
Well, I don't know why, Tim Scott is exploring this. It's to be formed an exploratory committee. It's like, yeah, save your money. It's like, just save your money. If it's not Trump, it's not going to be Tim Scott.
I'll be running for VP or something.
That's true. I guess you're right. A lot of times they run. But it's interesting. Trump also is going on the offense. He filed like a $500 million lawsuit against Michael Cohen, right? And you're a lawyer. So, I mean, there are no circumstances where if you're a lawyer, you can just like go call up the grand jury and call up the DA and say, hey, I've got all kinds of evidence against, which is a lie, right? Mm-hmm. Against my client. I mean, what are some of the things he's done? Because, I mean, Trump is suing him, it sounds like, largely for violating all of his attorney stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he knows a lot of those quote unquote attorney-client privileges. And when he got in front of the grand jury, lied about it. You're not required to be a punching bag to your client, but he's gone way before that, way beyond that.
What do you make of the lawsuit?
I don't know. You know, it's I mean, in front of the right jury, in front of the right judge, he'd win. In front of the wrong jury and the wrong judge, he'd lose.
Well, I think though, what's good about it is here again, it's lawfare, right?
Yes.
Donald Trump saying to Michael Cohen, okay, you want to do that? Sort of like Elon Musk, I don't have to sit here and take that, right? Just because some, like he said, stuck across a neocon moron, says I have to. No, I don't have to take this. So you want to get up there and say all this stuff? You want to violate, you know, all of your oaths? Fine. No, I'm going to sue you. And you're right. Whether it goes somewhere or it doesn't, kind of like with what they're doing to Trump. Now Cohen's got to deal with it, right? Yeah. And I think it says something to all of the other people, like to Mike Pence. It's like, you want to get up there and say a bunch of stuff that's not true? You know, all of the former aides who come out of the woodwork, it's like, you want to say something that's not true? Because I'll sue all of you too, right, you know? Right. And I think it's fight lawfare with lawfare.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think another good thing on that front, did you see? So Jim Jordan, there's more and more information coming out every day about all the Democrat donors and the Obama people who have been helping Bragg in the lawsuit, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jim Jordan has subpoenaed and he wants to investigate Bragg, right?
Right.
So Bragg filed a motion to have that thrown out, I guess is the way. And the judge said, no, we're not going to throw it out. So Bragg has to now deal with it. And I just say, almost, I mean, yes, you want it to go somewhere and you want information to come out, but I'm just glad to see Jim Jordan doing that, right? And to not give up and just say, oh, I guess we give up. It's like, no, okay, you want to investigate Donald Trump? I'm going to investigate you, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to challenge it with the court? Okay, I'll respond and challenge it in the court. Now, as you say, you know, if they ignore the subpoena, what's Merrick Garland going to do? Mm-hmm. But that's the only way we're going to do that, don't you think?
I think so. Dr. Donna wants to know what Douglas Bruce may be up to. I've not heard anything new about Douglas Bruce. Have you, Julie?
No, I think, let me see. I think, off topic. I know, that's okay, Dr. Donna. Oh, let me get back to that because I'm thinking from Jim Jackson. Oh, Charlene, hate speech is a new word. You can't find it in older dictionaries. From Jim Jackson, Hannity has no core, just mush. Exactly. From Charlene, lawfare, baby, works both ways. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what we have to do. And on let the left cry, misuse of the judicial system, no leg to stand on. Mm-hmm. And they're going to cry. They don't care that there's no leg to stand on, but we should. So what? Right. And on Douglas Bruce, I read something about him. He's had, I think, his share of legal issues also.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was reading something about him back in November, you know, at the election, but I don't even remember. I think every so often the Colorado politics people or the Colorado Sun people kind of revisit him mm-hmm. to try to make grassroots people look bad. Mm-hmm. That's my sense of the Douglas Bruce thing. I don't get the sense, and I could be wrong, but I don't see him anywhere. Nor
maybe Dr. Donna knows something. I mean,
yeah. Feel free. If you want to share, you want to speak up, go ahead and let us know. But I don't get the sense that I think he's older now too, anyway. And I don't think he's particularly healthy.
He's not healthy. Never has been healthy looking.
Right. And so I don't get the impression he's much of a power broker, shall we say. Yeah. Not certainly the way
I see him down at El Paso events and Pueblo events and stuff. But that's about it.
Well, and anyway, so back to kind of wrap it up on Trump before we move to the Bud Light stuff. What's interesting, though, I think is if Ron DeSantis is just being quiet, which I think is the only thing he can do, right? And just wait and see. And you know, Trump is dominating it. He's filed the lawsuit. That's the beautiful thing about Trump. How do you fight that, right? You go attack him. It's just like Elon Musk, and then he attacks you. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're on the defense, and you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Like the reporter, I'm the one doing the interview here. Mm-hmm. It's my interview.
I get to attack you.
Yeah, let's talk about something else. And Elon Musk is like, okay, COVID, okay, we'll talk about that. I'm happy to talk about that. Yeah,
BBC's misinformation that was giving out to people. Oh, I'm not in charge of that.
Okay, exactly.
What do you think about that misinformation?
Right. That's what you got to
do. You're a human being, right?
Right. And so now here, guys, I want to let you know that I am celebrating my 23,731st day of womanhood.
There you go.
There you go.
Wow.
Buddy, you guys say since Chuck, you have celebrated 0 days of womanhood.
No. About a 500.
on your pretty days.
On my most handsome days.
On your most handsome days. I mean, what a crock. And we've talked about this before. Just this Dylan, whatever the person's name
Mulvaney.
Is. Mulvaney. You know, again, there are real women, actual women, who I'm sure could handle and would love to have the sponsorships. There's been a ton of stuff in social media.
Oh, yeah, if you're an influencer, you get tens of thousands of dollars.
Right. And all of a sudden, why is Nike giving a sports bra endorsement to a guy who doesn't wear a bra, who is not a woman, and who is not an athlete? I mean, that's just
perfect
ridiculous.
For them.
Ridiculous.
Perfect for them.
And,
perfect person.
This is from Doug. We're jumping all over here a little bit. Someone reached out to Mark for attorney information regarding Bruce, which is all I know. So I thought he'd ask us, you know, I don't know that. I don't know what's going on with Doug Bruce. But anyway, so you've all heard the Bud Light thing, and apparently it continues to go badly for Bud Light, right?
Well, it's interesting. The information war because you'll hear all these ones going, Bud Light boycott backfiring, and you know it doesn't matter where those rural hicks drink it. You know, all the jiffy transgender people will be chugging it down like water, and the whole thing is backed up on the anti. And it's, of course, it's a lie. This boycott is going to help badly. I mean, badly hurt Anheuser-Busch.
Well,
and you have to understand that Anheuser-Busch is owned by this consortium out of Brazil and South Africa called AB, Anheuser-Busch, AB InBrew. And they own lots of other products, right, including Heineken and all that.
Stella.
I'm not drinking that. So you can just go online, find out which ones. I mean, Heineken, no more Heineken for me.
Right.
No more Bud, no more Bud Light. And Bud Light is what I drank. I mean, you know, I'm not a big beer drinker, but when I do it, it would be Bud Light. No. Well, and now they go, well, Coors Molson isn't a stand, you know, kind of like better than Bud Light. So, and there's a new one that's out of Pennsylvania, that Youngskin, that's a top draft beer in a couple of eastern states. So maybe see if they can bring that out here.
Oh, just stick with, hopefully they don't have anything to do with Tito's vodka. Well, you know, here's the thing. There are a bunch of things, and we're going to play some sound here on this, a bunch of things wrong. I mean, I'm no marketing expert, but I can tell you this. When people lie to you in those surveys, right? When I was a reporter, I'd covered tons of jury selections, right? And they always asked jurors, you know, what do you listen to? Everybody said, I read the New York Times and I listen to NPR. It's like, no, you don't, right? The number one show at the time was Wheel of Fortune. It's like, you all watch Wheel of Fortune and nobody wants to say that, right? Instead, you're trying to make your, which, and I would say the same thing. I'd be like, oh, you know, I wouldn't be like, I read Cosmo or something. I'd be like, I read Newsweek.
I don't really read. I just watch John Wick.
Yeah.
Endlessly movies.
There's a new Guardian of the Galaxy coming out too. Ooh. But at any rate, so people lie on that. So when they do these surveys and they talk to young people and they say, young people want to work for a company and be involved with the company that shares their values and stuff like that. It's like, no, they don't. I mean, maybe one or two do. People want to drink a beer not because the beer shares their values.
They do now.
Right? That's a lie. I mean, the marketing people who fall for that are idiots.
I can promise you. They've made it that way.
Well, no, for you. Exactly. That's what I'm gonna. So the people that they're surveying who said, I want to drink a beer that shares my values and has a green agenda, that's a lie. They want to drink a beer because it tastes good and it's cheap or it's free or it's on happy hour or something like that. The reasons that they're drinking the beer have very little to do with these young people for that. So when this marketing director says we need to reach out to the young people, that's a bunch of nonsense. But what they have pissed off, like you said, are the people who do drink Bud Light, right? Who actually did drink it and
which,
are now
which
mad.
Tends to be, you know, large males drink a lot of beer. Skinny transgender people don't drink very much beer. Dylan Mulvaney doesn't drink much beer because he weighs 50 pounds. And it's hilarious.
And if you're like a transgender person out there, you're not going to be like, or if you're a guy, you're not going to be like, I need to go buy a Nike sports bra. Be like, well, I don't actually wear a bra, so I don't really even need Nike.
You can now.
Well, you can. I mean, you always could. So these marketing directors, this is my point, they're idiots. They have, you know, that they're all trying to meet these, what, equity and social ESG
standards. No, this is a woman. And Dylan Mulvaney said she's an easy target. No, she isn't an easy target. The vice president of marketing for a Bud Light is an easy target. Because she is hateable.
She is.
I mean, she is absolutely hateable.
And if you doubted it, let us play her explaining her marketing philosophy. If we could, Thomas, please play the Bud Light sound.
Well, I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men. Mm-hmm. And representation is, it's sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor. And it was really important that we had another approach.
What an idiot. I mean, number one, just look at the numbers. The percentage of trans people is very small. The percentage of trans light beer drinkers is probably even smaller, right? So you're going to take this minute percentage of the population and try to appeal to them. But then if you've seen it's bad fight on her, she said,
well, but then go after the people who do drink her beer.
Exactly. You know,
those stupid, fratty, smutty humor jerks. We got to get away from them.
What's happened to her? And I didn't have time to pull the pictures, but she's had to scrub her Facebook page because people have gone back, as they do, and they found pictures of her at little fratty, bratty parties, like drinking beer out of condoms and stuff like that, looking completely intoxicated and joking about being completely intoxicated.
Well, you
should have used that. She should have, you will have fun if you drink Bud Light, right?
Well, you may notice the children's pictures in back of her,
like
the drawings. She is the mother of three kids through surrogates, which means she's not the mother, and it's unclear who is the sperm donor, but it's not her, apparently, unless it was in an earlier stage. So where do these children that she's gotten a hold of through three of them, through surrogate mothers of uncertain parenthood? I mean, wow. What an all-star.
Well, that's because she's inclusive. I mean, I'm sorry, but when you're talking about getting people to drink beer, you don't talk about inclusivity. It's like you talk about beer tasting good, right? When you go and, you know, order a grilled cheese sandwich, you're like, this is an inclusive grilled cheese sandwich. You're like, this is a good grilled cheese sandwich or a bad grilled cheese sandwich. Now, Shalene says maybe they don't care, but
I promise you they do care.
She doesn't care, and I bet she won't have her job very long. But
she'll become the president now.
Right. The cultural revolutionists just want the photo of a man turned into a woman out there to desensitize us and wear us down into accepting what the state puts on us. I absolutely agree with you, Charlene. That's the end thing. But here is, and I'm going to caution you, this has swear words in it, okay?
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. Kids are listening or whatever. But this is Kid Rock's reaction to that idiot PR woman. If we could please play the Kid Rock.
Grandpa's feeling a little frisky today. Let me say something to all you and be as clear and concise as possible. Fuck Bud Light and fuck Anheuser-Busch. Have a terrific day.
That has gotten billions of views. Billions.
And more of them. And then the other thing is getting the views of all these poor Bud Light distributors saying, I'm being crushed here. No one is buying my freaking Bud Light, right? Or bars.
Well, I'm just one person, but I'll never buy an Anheuser-Busch product again because the insult. I don't care about Dylan Mulvaney, but the fact that Bud Light wants to tell us that that's their new marketing one. Great, go to it. I'm sure in some gay parts of town they'll be swigging some Bud Light, but everywhere else.
It's just a thing, right? They're not going to. If they were, they would already be drinking it. People don't drink beer because, I mean, people might join a social organization or a political party because they agree. People like, I remember briefly when I was at the TV station, you know, everybody likes Chick-fil-A, and every so often somebody would be, oh, I have a problem with Chick-fil-A. I'm like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Satan could make their curly fries and I would eat them, right? I mean, I go to Chick-fil-A.
Well, I disagree with you. I mean, I think it does. And that's what our guest
got. Until they go the other way, yes.
Well, that's what our guest was saying on their book about the boycott, how to buy things from the companies that
right.
support your values. So, I do think I care enough that. Years ago, maybe.
I think you're right. It is, times are changing and we do need to fight more. But then I wanted to play just for fun an ad that Budweiser ran in 1989. Because here's the thing about left. You just look at this woman, you're like, she has zero sense of humor. It looked like at the little frat parties where she was drinking beer out of condoms. She was fun at one point in her life, no, at least.
I'm not anymore.
She's too woke to have fun. And that's the underlying problem with the wokesters. Well, one of the many underlying problems is they have no sense of humor. So I want to play you a Bud Light ad from 1989. So if we could please play the 1989 ad.
I send you for a Bud Light, and you bring back...
Well, if you want the one light that outshines them all, ask for Bud Light.
So, there are no men here, there's an unlimited supply of Bud Light, and we can never leave.
Correct.
Because everything else is just a light.
We can live with that, yeah.
See, now that's funny, right? That's funny. If you look at that, you're like, okay, that Bud Light, those guys sound like they might be kind of fun, right? No one wants to be lectured while they're drinking their beer by the beer itself, right? It's just like ridiculous. But I think this is from Satan has to make their fries. Otherwise, I don't know how they could be so addicting on the curve. That's a good point. but I think, Charlene, you're right. Is that this whole nonsense about being inclusive and all that doesn't have anything to do with it. It, again, is pushing a narrative. And that's why
being inclusive is a narrative. I mean, what they mean by inclusive is that you must accept
whatever they tell you.
Whatever they tell you and be happy about it and what they're doing to your children, don't worry about it.
But again, it's been...
Howard Stern doesn't care, so you shouldn't
It's been funny watching on the social media all these women and all these influences. Lauren Boebert had something, you know, this is my whatever, you know, 20,000th day of womanhood. You know, I've had four children, one miscarriage. I'm about to become a grandmother, you know, and she, that's what being a woman is. And I was reading a thing the other day on this topic, and I think this is right, that they are going to continue pushing this as long as women put up with it. I think it is one of those things where it really is up to women to lead the charge on this, like that Gail Riley Gaines, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and now she's going to sue the university where she got attached.
She's good.
Yes, and she's speaking up and she's not being silenced. And I think that the women are the one who are being hurt, right? It's you know, no, Dylan Mulvaney may dress like a woman, may want to act like a woman. That's fine.
Or a caricature of a woman.
Or a caricature of a woman, but he's not a woman. So to say I'm celebrating 365 days of womanhood takes away everything, number one, that women are and that make women, well, you need women and men, right? And that celebrates women and it turns it into something that's just a joke and a lie. And we're supposed to somehow take it. And I think, really and truly, I think women need to keep pushing back. That's why it's good on the social media where they're like, you know, this is my blah, blah, blah day of womanhood and I'm a mother. You know, it's like, no. And one of those other social media, and she's like, hey, Bud Light. Hey, Nike. You know, I could sure use an endorsement. I mean, Dylan Mulvaney has made millions of dollars and become wealthy while other actual women who are doing actual things, right, are struggling. It's like, and what's going on that they don't want to reward that? And it's because, well, those are real people.
But I can promise you, no matter what you read, that this boycott of Bud Light and all Anheuser-Busch is going to be devastating. It is going to be absolutely. I mean, there are places like Shotgun Willie's who serves billions of beers or something. You know, no more Anheuser-Busch. Nope, not Heineken, not Bud Light, not any of them.
Well, and why would you? Because their clientele, right? I imagine if you're going to Shotgun Willie's, you're probably not all that concerned, at least at that moment, about the inclusivity of the trans community, right?
Yeah, all right.
And you're there to have a good time and to have a beer with your friends, right? And but you're right, because if you're Shotguns and if you're the distributors, and that's what they're saying, this is how I make my living. And Anheuser-Busch has made all of my clients angry, right? Mm-hmm. Except for maybe 1%, you know, whatever, one transgender person, but it doesn't drink beer anyway. So, but like Charlene says, ultimately the breaking of any bonding that supersedes our allegiance to the state.
Right.
And that's what they want to do. And I kind of disagree with Tucker Carlson a little bit in that when he talks about, he sees it as largely a fight between the trans community and religion, because they need to, I think that it's much broader than that. I think that the left in general needs to tear down religion. It needs to tear down anything, I think, that gives people a higher sense of purpose, that gives people a higher sense of hope, that tells people they're important just by being themselves, right? I mean, that's real inclusivity when you think about it, not that you're more important. I mean, the Democrats have such a hierarchy, right? So you've got minorities, like ethnic minorities, that, but, you know, Hispanics are, you know, are trumped by Blacks, Asian, no, they don't even really count anymore, no, they're in the bottom, right? Okay, now if you were gay, that used to be worth something. Not anymore. If you're a gay person, what do you think would happen if you spoke out against the trans community, right? Ooh. You would be crushed in silence. So the Democrats, their inclusivity changes all the time, and it's ranked. It has nothing to do with the actual inherent value of the person, don't you think?
I think they have decided to, you know, they keep on going for more and more people they can make into identity groups. And so they clutched on to trannies, and all of a sudden they for that 3%, 5%, I don't know how many trannies in the world, maybe a lot, but to really put down women like J.K. Rowling and other people is not a way to garner more votes, I don't think. And of course they don't want to garner votes. They just want to count the votes, but,
right.
You know, by just trashing all women who stand up for women, is that a long-term good move? Maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, but there are like 50% of the people out there are actual women, or 51%, right? You would think, but I think it's a fight that women need to stand up. And I think women are, because they're seeing, you know, again, educational opportunities, sponsorship opportunities, being taken away from real women. And we're told, and, you know, and you're supposed to just go along with that because what? I also think, I gotta feel like it's a fad that's going to change. I think there's a certain amount of, well, here's this. I remember many years ago doing a story. There was some Christian youth group at Red Rocks, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there were like, I don't know, 100 kids or something like that. And all of a sudden, like 3/4 of them ended up in the hospital with shortness of breath, fatigue, a little bit of whatever, right? And they couldn't figure it out. And finally, they said what this was just a certain amount of social contagion, right? Yeah. I mean, a couple of kids, you know, these are like middle school kids. A couple of kids felt shortness of breath, and all of us, and everybody felt shortness of breath, right? And I think that that's going on because they talk about like this massive number of young people identifies as transsexual now. You know, my guess is if you were to, which is why the whole surgery thing is so bad. Mm-hmm. If you were to ask him in about 5 years, they would be like, oh yeah, everybody was doing it. So I was doing it. Don't you think? I think that has a lot to do with this perception, but the schools are pushing it onto kids. So, you know, you right away say, well, of course I'm transsexual because everybody who's cool is transsexual.
Right.
From Charlene, Bud Light taking one for the commie team and exactly more groups to divide and conquer us. Which is why, like you said, they need to just constantly pick more victims.
Yeah, I don't think this is a winner for them, but we'll see. You know, I think more and more you are dividing the country. I mean, you know, if you're on Team Tranny, you're on one side, and if you're on Christian side, you're on another, or even not Christian. But it's an amazing effort. To be able to say, look, we can force you to do anything. And if we can't force you, we'll force your kids to. Right. And I think more and more people are going, these people are despicable.
Well, and I think it's important to make the distinction, too, that what has happened recently. I mean, you know, there have been transsexual people around forever. And I don't think anybody particularly bothered them. There have been drag queen shows forever, right? There were burlesque shows. What people are objecting to.
Those are different things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What people are objecting to is the sexualization going on in kids' classrooms, where again, like I've said, you know, you couldn't bring a bunch of strippers in and with poles and stuff like that in kindergartens and have the strippers be hanging upside down, you know, doing a lap dance on little kids, you know, and taking money from little kids. Someone would object. But for some reason, it's okay if they're transsexuals. It's like, no, it's not the fact that they're transsexual that's a problem. The problem is the sexualization that they're bringing into the classroom.
Well, I love Sue Bird and I forget her name, Reagan McCain, I think, who are two. One's a WNBA player, the other is a soccer player, and they got married a few years ago where the soccer player was the male and the other one was the female. And then you never saw more smug people. They are just so smug. And of course, they were celebrated everywhere. I mean, just they, you know, Vogue and all the ones, you know, their wedding was the best wedding ever. And so they came out with a letter signed on by other ones, saying, yeah, we need men in our sports. And all these people go, yeah, now that you're retired and you don't have to place males in your sports, you want others to. Okay. Okay, sure.
Well, yeah, it's from Charlene Julie, exactly. No straight up male strippers allowed in classrooms. And Peg, if using performance enhancing drugs is illegal, why is being male the stronger sex being accepted? You know, and that's the thing. And here again, you got to push back like Elon Musk did. It's not that I don't want to be inclusive of transsexual people. I just don't want anybody, transsexual, heterosexual, cisgender, anything, sexualizing kids in school. And you know what? If Dylan Mulvaney wants to be an influencer and get contracts, great. But I don't want someone pretending to be a woman, pretending, not even pretending to be an athlete, taking sponsorship and opportunities away from real women who are real athletes. That's the problem I have. If she wants to, I mean, in a way, I'm like, if Bud Light wants to sponsor her, that's great. The Nike thing really annoys me. But if Bud Light don't celebrate her for her 365th day of being a woman, celebrate me for my 23,731 days of being a woman, right? That's the thing. And I think you're right. That's why people are pushing back, right?
Well, this one's, I promise you, this boycott will bring Bud Light down. And whether it'll bring down Anheuser-Busch, it probably can. I mean, Anheuser-Busch and AB. Yeah. Well, but people are going back. I mean, I went back. Okay, who does AB and Brew own? And I won't buy that either. And so I think, you know, bars will go that go to a more traditional. We'll go, okay, let's see their products. Okay, yeah. When the Anheuser-Busch person comes by, I said, we don't want any of your products. Thank
right,
you.
Exactly, goodbye. Exactly. Well, you know what? Hey, Sherry from Lakewood, we got to go now. But if you want to call back Friday, we'll take you at the top of the show Friday. I'm sorry, we just saw that, but it's time for us to go. And Sherry, I always love it when you call. So call on Friday, and we'll take you first.
Tell us how many days of womanhood you've enjoyed.
That's right. That's going to wrap it up for us today. Remember, as always, you can catch the show and the links to whatever format you like to listen to us on at chuckandjulie.com. Coming up next is Party Friday.
Can't wait.
All right. See you guys then.